Hey, everybody. Everybody, we have a guest, 2104. Good evening. Hopefully, it's you, Blah. I heard from a little birdie that you sometimes sneak in to hear the show. So, if it's you, hugs and welcome. And if it isn't you, welcome anyway, guest. Hey, Alana, and I think we have Tana. Is that you on the phone? Or is it Keith?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Is it you, Tana?
Can you hear me? Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, now I can. Hey, Tana.
I'm at work.
How are you?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
I'm good, thanks.
Are you...
Yeah, I'm at work. But I love you. Good to see
hi. Yeah, yeah. And,
and I love Jesus, as you know.
Really?
We all love Jesus. We all love Jesus.
You know,
hey,
one
Jerry.
Of the things that...
Hi, Donna.
Hey, Jerry.
Love you, Jerry.
Hi, Carol.
You know, hey, Jerry. Glad you're here. You know, right now there's only two guests and Alana and you guys on the phone.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's a little small right now, but that's okay. You know, the... I don't know if you guys heard that song that, I don't know, it automatically came on. And I was listening to the words, and of course, you know, God's love, our Lord's love takes us higher. And it also, and he also, what's amazing about his love in us is that he helps us face the world. And you know, it's no news anymore, but you've all been aware of Robin Williams passing. And it was so sad. You know, of course, they're going to go on and on and on about his life and for a long time now, but I was reading a lot of the comments. I don't know why it hit me so hard yesterday when I heard. I guess I didn't expect him to take his life. And one of the things that was mentioned was, you know, he suffered from chronic depression for years, and that, which is why he abused drugs and alcohol over the years, blah, blah, blah. And but I have a point in all of this that I'm bringing out. One of the many comments, all the comments about him that, from people who knew him, were about his generosity, his kindness, his love, his genuineness, his down-to-earthness. You know, he was such a lovable guy. And in spite of all of his goodness, he was so good. But, you know, he didn't have Jesus. And because he didn't have Jesus, he suffered from depression. Because I thought of ourselves, all of our goodness, all of our good works, all of our, you know, our generosity, our whatever it is that we do in our flesh to try to serve God or be good people, will leave us empty and depressed and lonely, because that's not what pleases God. What pleases God is our spirit connected to His spirit, following His spirit, worshiping Him. And it was so sad that that's what he lacked. You know, nothing satisfied him, nothing made him happy, because he didn't have a relationship with his Creator. And it just reminded me of how many of us, sometimes we might go into a funk because, you know, life throws rotten tomatoes at us. But our relationship with him sustains us. Our relationship with him takes us higher and higher. Our relationship with our Lord Jesus helps us, strengthens us to face the world, and he provides an escape for us because he loves us, and we know he loves us, and we love him.
Amen. If you say all the money in the world doesn't buy happiness, and that's why a lot of Hollywood that has money and that have unfortunately taken their own lives in one way or another, maybe intentionally, not intentionally, it's because they're looking for happiness, which is only found through Jesus. Yes, they need Jesus in their lives. But Katie has a couple of videos about his death. Everyone should listen to them. Interesting videos. Our little Katie has some good videos about him. Jerry, can I say something?
Whatever.
Oh, so Carol, I was in chat yesterday, and I said something to Jerry, and then Jerry Jerry had some like kind of revelation, and then he left, and I came back, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, sorry.
What was the revelation?
Do you mean Tana messaged me? We were looking at the times that our shows were scheduled to go, and actually I had noticed the last two or three days if you in, at night, if you went in and clicked on the upcoming show to get into chat,
mm-hmm.
that they were scheduled for 3:21.
Mm-hmm.
3:21.
Right.
And then, but Tana noticed that the one, was it the one for today, Tana?
Yeah, I went to Blog Talk last night, and then I just happened to have to go to Blog Talk for the show tomorrow to click on to get to chat. So I did that, and it said the next show is scheduled, and this is my revelation after you left. So the next show is scheduled Wednesday at 12:21 p.m. I'm like, Wednesday, 12:21, so there's no show for Tuesday scheduled. So I inboxed or PM'd Jerry in blog chat, and I said, Jerry, the next show, did you see the next show is Wednesday, 12:21 p.m.? And I also did that to Judy. So I left chat for a minute, and I came back, and Jerry, like, had some big revelation about that. And you can, my revelation is that because Wednesday is August 13th, Katie had someone post on her page, August 13th, God told her August 13th. And then Jerry had the revelation that August 13th is the 17th of Av. And that's my revelation is because, and then I was thinking with Judy last night, I'm like, well, that's funny. That's no show today. Well, that our last show is Wednesday at 12:21 p.m., which we won't be here for because we'll be translated, and that's when Judy's sister will go on and say, because it's 12:21, so we will be translated by 11:58 or 12 p.m. for which would be 2 p.m. for the others that were 2 p.m. So that's when I'm like, well, we won't be here for that show. And that's why there's no show Tuesday. And then Judy's sister's going to go on and say at 12:21 p.m. Wednesday that they've been translated. So that was my revelation and thinking, all right, Jerry, take it away. I don't know what
you're talking about. Well, that was really cool. Yeah, you did I had mentioned that knew that was that the 13th was the 17th of Av. And actually, I'm trying to scan. I don't know, you might be able to find it faster than I can, Tana, but last week Jason was really led to look at the numbers 10 and 17. And what I was trying to do was go back and look at when he sent that letter out and if it was actually the 10th of Av when he had that understanding. And I'm not sure. I don't think I'm going to find it right away. But anyway.
I want to say it was either that day or the day before. But, I mean, it was, you know,
it's really close to the 10th,
yeah. Very close. It could have been the 10th for him or even 10th for Israel. So it could have been the 10th.
Yeah. And so then here we are looking at the 17th, 7 days later. A little sidebar, I went back and looked today at Judy's last video for the Lord, and it was done on the 5th, so today would be 7 days from that time. But what Tana's mentioning is that she mentioned 12:21, and I really reacted to that because years and years ago, about 3 years ago,
okay.
When I started...
Yeah,
August 10th, I just
found it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, cool. And one of the very first repeating number sequences that I ever really kind of noticed, and I didn't even know anybody else was experiencing this at the time, was, and I'm still not aware of anybody else who's really noticed this particularly, but I started seeing 12:21, like everywhere I looked. It's very strange. And I saw, you know, the 11:11 thing and all that. But one of the very first, and the most prominent one by far, was 12:21. And I kind of looked it up different days, different ways, that is. And this was long before. This was before the whole December 21st, 2012 thing. This was a long time before that, before anybody was even really talking about it. And I was looking it up, and I got a few things that were sort of encouragements, but I really didn't You know, I never really felt like I had completely solved the riddle, if you will. And so then, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, I finally realized if you take the first and second letters of the alphabet, 1, 2, 2, 1, you get A, B, B, A, Abba, like Abba Daddy.
Wow. Mm.
And because that has been one of the most prominent numbers that I have seen, I haven't been seeing it a lot recently, but I did a long time ago, and it was extremely powerful. And when I saw that that number that Tana found was applied specifically to that show, it really spoke to me. It really did.
Wow.
So that was part of that was the reason I reacted to that so strongly. Plus, I knew that it was the 17th of Av, and then I don't know, Tana, I think you mentioned in chat that someone had done a video calling out the 13th of August which is the same. The 13th of August, was a rapture date or something. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that video. I'm not sure whose it was. Somebody in chat mentioned that. And, I know we're in a really interesting week.
Yeah.
Very interesting week.
Yeah, I was only going to say, I only noticed that someone commented on Katie's video that got to the August 13th.
Okay. And, you know, actually, you're reminding me, Tana, I was thinking about this as I had sort of an unusual, let's call it a disproportionately stressful part of the day yesterday, where something that shouldn't have been a very big deal for some reason seemed to have extra pressure and consideration about it. And I know Judy had kind of an unusual day because she had this huge realization that she was done, you know, and it hit her pretty hard yesterday, and she was like, okay, so now what? And that's an amazing sort of a transition you have to go through. And then I know, you know, just yesterday, I think it was, Keith was moving back to California, and Carol, you've mentioned that you've had a couple of new challenges come up, and yesterday on the show, Pat mentioned that she mm-hmm. had some extra pressure, and I'm thinking around, and almost everybody that we regularly hear from seems to have had some kind of extra thing here right at this last day or two, and honestly, I couldn't have obviously thought about it as a birth pang, but also maybe more than that, maybe almost a final birth pang. And because so many of the beyond, I think Katie's in a similar sort of circumstance. But, you know, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, but it just seems to me that there's been a lot of upheaval here, just even in the last day or two, for the majority of those that we hear from regularly.
Yeah, a lot. And I like what Bill and Chris have also mentioned, okay? And that is, they feel, and I feel, you know, disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
This quote-unquote reality of this world feels very, very weird because we're not part of this world and we're feeling more and more disconnected from this world, you know, and I think we're sensing it, but the thing is we have to stay focused on the Lord and not on the not on the sense that we're feeling disconnected. We realize we are, but at the same time, you know, we I don't want it to be a distraction, because it's going to, for me, I already know how I get. I'll start getting really depressed. No, I really don't struggle with oh, sorry. I'm sorry, my feeding my doggies. Hey! But, you know, the world is just getting, it's getting so weird every day, with every passing day. I mean, there's just so much conglomeration going on that you don't know how people are surviving. If it was how blessed we are to have each other and to have, you know, our precious Lord Jesus, His Spirit, Father God, Abba God. How blessed we are, because so many people don't, and we see it every day. And my goodness, the struggles we go through don't compare with the struggles and the challenges that other people are having all over the world. You know, someone once said, "We're so spoiled." We're really spoiled, because I mean we get little aches and pains, or you know, somebody looks at us funny, or you know, somebody rejects the Lord when we're trying to share the Lord with them, or you know, whatever it is. That's nothing. You know, we lose our jobs, so we get another one, or don't get another one. But it's nothing compared to what people are going through all over the world. You know, all you have to do is just click on the news and you see it just gets worse and worse with each passing day. But
Can you unmute Keith, please? Sorry to interrupt. Keith wants to be unmuted. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, he is unmuted.
I've been talking. No one heard me.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Hey, Jerry.
Oh, I'm better now. Boy, this morning was bad. But this morning, I honestly didn't. I thought I was going to be translated. That trip just wiped me out so bad. I had zero energy this morning for a few hours. It was really bad. But I was just praising God and thanking Him for healing me. And all of a sudden, I pulled through it and a lot better.
Right
now.
There you go.
Normal.
There you go.
Thank God. That's all I did for like 3 hours. I just looked at the cross. I was like, okay, thanks for healing me. Thanks for healing me. Thanks for healing me, Lord. And then that's all I focused on, not the symptoms. So. And they just all went away, and had so much energy after that, I went shopping. That's a miracle.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, we're all moved, and so things are good, and it's a lot cooler here. The weather's about 30 degrees cooler. You know, Vegas is just 113 every day and 100 at night. It's just too much, you know, on my system. But we're settled in California, Woodland Hills, and it's nice, and the weather's cool here and feels wonderful. And now we're ready to get raptured, so let's go.
Yeah, right, we're all ready. Well, good. You know, we're all in the same. We're still in the ark. We're all waiting to.
I know.
We're all waiting for us to go. Oh, there it is. Stacy has a word, and
cool.
I'm going to read it now because. Yeah. Okay. This is the Lord speaking to Stacy. My children, hear me. This is your Redeemer, your Savior. My heart rejoices. My heart cheers. My heart doubles with anticipation of your arrival. Be still. Feel me. You are connected to me through the Holy Spirit. The angels are ready to meet and greet. Heaven is waiting for such a joyous event. I have prepared the best for my bride. Make yourselves ready, because now is the time. Don't you feel it? You know it. Do not doubt it. It is I who speaks. I am in communication with each of my bride. We are all in communication. You can hear me in the stillness. You can hear me in the wind. I love you, my children, a love you will never imagine, a love that will overtake you. Be encouraged. I delay no more. Wow.
Wow.
That was awesome. And it rang true to me, because the Holy Spirit's been telling me to be still.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been paying attention to him, and I've been obeying, and I've been getting more peace. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to reveal something to me. I pray that he does, because I'm being still, and it's a confirmation of what the Lord gave Stacy. It's what he told me to do: be still. So something good is going to happen. Well, we know it is. We know it is.
I agree with that. I think we're seeing it everywhere.
Who's 814?
That's Chris.
Hey, it's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yep. Yeah, I just been listening.
Oh, good.
Was it Jerry who was saying about the final birth pains?
Yeah.
I agree, Jerry. I've been feeling that all day. I'm like, Lord, was that, you know? And I felt guilty, you know, last night. I was feeling guilty. I'm like, Lord, this is so petty. You know, I feel so petty because it's such a simple thing, but it felt so huge, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking at, you know, I follow a lot of Israel stuff, and I, you know, I've got, you know, I'm looking at pictures of beheaded children, and they're selling more Christian women into sex slavery that they've now rounded up, and more children into sex slavery, and I'm, you know, complaining because I'm getting, you know, a hard time at work, and somebody's trying my patience and making me want to lose my temper, you know, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Now, this is not, it's so nothing, you
don't,
know.
Don't feel guilty, though, Chris. I mean, it's good to work through, but don't really feel guilty. It was real. It was real for you.
Yeah, and that was the word that the Lord gave me. He said, you know, I put trials in different people's way that I know will affect them the most. For me, my temper was one of my, you know, my temper and my pride and my ego being offended was my biggest fault. You know, that was my biggest thing that it took the Lord. I was saved for a year before I was able to stop, you know, bar fighting and, you know, just don't look at me cross-eyed or, you know. And it took me to be saved for him to break, you know, turn me into the exact opposite. Now I, you know, I cry at, you know, the sight of a picture that, you know, I look at these pictures of these people being persecuted all over the world, and I break down into tears, you know. And
right.
I went to the other extreme. You know, now I'm, you know, super sensitive, and then I realized, you know, I'm like, you know, Lord put it on my heart. He's like, you know, you were this man all along. You just never showed anyone. You know, you hid it. Now you know, I gave you the freedom to be yourself, to be who you really are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was a gift.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I want to tell you, Chris, that I'm sure you're very frank expression of your experiences yesterday, your testimony there yesterday was really helpful to other people. And then just now when you said the word petty, it's funny because I'd never thought about that, but I was saying I had sort of a thing going on yesterday. And honestly, that word would fit for a portion of what I was going through yesterday. It was just silly. And you're not alone. You're not alone.
I prayed about it. I was praying about it last night and this morning. And the Lord told me, you know, he said, well, you know, if I sent somebody with a sword coming after you to chop your head off, that's not a trial for you because you're just going to be like, yeah, come on, you know. So that for you, that's not a test, you know. But
right.
The situation I put you in is a test for you, you know. And I said, okay, God, all right, I get it, you know. Because I was, you know, I really did feel guilty. I'm like, Lord, this is so nothing, and I'm upset over it, you know. And he's like, well,
right.
For you, it's, you know, it was a trial and a test of your faith, you know, and he does test our faith. He's going
mm-hmm.
to, you know, and a big thing, you know, like I was talking to Roman earlier, and I told him, I said, the Lord's been really putting it on my heart to just put out to, especially everybody in the RCC and my friends that I know are very spirit-filled and that are his chosen bride and his elect, that the strong deception that may deceive the elect is not always going to be so noticeable. And right now, you need to look to him. Don't look to others. Don't look to
mm-hmm.
any other person. You know, God really put it on my heart to put this out. You know, don't look to people on how to live your life or what you need to be repentant of or what you need to stop. Go straight to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in each of us, very strong. You know, we are all spirit-filled believers. He will speak directly to us, and now is not the time to ignore him. If you get a slight inkling, if so-and-so says, hey, it's okay to smoke cigarettes, or it's okay, like my pastor, you know, at a church I go to, one of the churches I nomad to around here, you know, he said, he made a statement, blew my mind. He said, I just want to put out to the service, we had an outing last week, and I want to put out to the congregation, there was a guy in recovery that came from, he was an alcoholic in recovery, and he came and people were drinking at the church function, and he was offended and disturbed by it because he thought he would be safe in a church function from being around alcohol. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That's a good word to put out, you know. That's great. And then he followed it up with, but if you want to drink, do it in private. Drink all you want at home. Keep it at home. Get drunk at home. Don't drink in public. You know, and I'm like, whoa. You know, and I instantly felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us are very spirit-filled believers that can all have that same thing. So when somebody says something that, you know, this guy, he's a missionary in Africa. He went to, you know, Bethel. You know, he's a very anointed man of God from what I've seen. But that was just straight stupid what he said. And the Holy Spirit instantly told me, because then Satan put, because I've had problems with alcohol in my past, Satan instantly dropped that little seed in my head that said, oh, well, Pastor Bruce says it's okay, so you can go get a case of beer on the way home and sit and have a few beers and get a little buzz on, you know, and it's okay. And then instantly, the Holy Spirit, you know, I call it the Holy Spirit slap I get. You know, I get that smack in the face like, hey, stupid, I told you no. You know, my word says this. So, therefore, you listen to the word of God. You know, I guided you to the scriptures that showed you do not be drunk on wine, be drunk on the Holy Spirit. I guided you to those scriptures. Don't listen to a man or a pastor or a friend or whoever that says it's okay, because that has nothing to do with you. You listen to me, you know, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm listening to you, you know, and I just, he put that out for me to remind everybody. Don't listen to people's guidance. Listen to God's guidance.
Right.
You know, sorry. I need to get on a rant.
No,
okay.
No, that's good.
Thank you. Yeah, you
that's
gave
good.
A great illustration.
Yes. Yeah, and it's really all about us relating to him and him relating to us. His spirit guides us. His word instructs us. And when you put the two together, his spirit and his word, then God comes alive in us, and he changes us. You know, in the Old Testament, God gave the law, but the law did not change people. So they went through all the motions of the sacrifices and the worships and the this and the that don't eat this, make sure, you know, you do this, you do that, don't do this, don't do that. But they couldn't keep the law. And they couldn't keep the law because the law was not living inside of them. The law is the word of God.
Right.
And he makes us perfect inside. It's from the inside out. That's why when we come to him, it's because he drew us to himself. We knew there was something missing, and we kept hearing a voice or a tug in our heart, in our spirit. And finally, when we looked up and said, Jesus, Lord Jesus, with a pure heart, then something happened. He came inside of us. And then the more we called him on his name with love, and our love for him grew. Before that, we didn't have a love for him. You know, we knew we were supposed to, but we really didn't have that inner love, because it's God's love. It's not our love. Our love means zilcho to him, because our love is polluted. The human love is polluted. It's full of sin. But his love is not. So when he comes inside of us and fills us with his spirit and fills us with his love, fills us with his joy, fills us with his peace, then we change from the inside out. Then it's his love, loving one another. We love each other because God inside of us loves you, loves me. That's why we're able to love each other. And that's what's so awesome, that what we have is something the world does not have.
We have something that does not. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, Stacey. Go ahead.
No, it's Carol, but that's okay. No,
Carol,
you know,
I'm sorry.
I was just saying. Go ahead.
I wanted to throw in there. What we have is something that Christians don't even have. You know, that's what the church is lacking, the four-walled church. They lack.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of Christians that they listen to Christian music. They live sort of Christian lives, but they don't make changes. For a perfect example, somebody asked me today, one of my coworkers asked me today, they were like, so are you still angry about yesterday? I said, no, I wasn't angry yesterday. And they said, well, you got real quiet. And I said, well, I got real quiet because I was in prayer. And they said, how did that not make you angry? You know, he disrespected you like that. And it wasn't even, what it was someone had cut something wrong. I'm a carpenter. And someone had cut something wrong, and he blamed me. And I said, because I didn't oversee the guy making the cut. You know, and I'm like, look, I can't watch everybody. There's 10 men here. You know, I can't watch everybody and everything they do. That's what I'm thinking, but I just bit my tongue and didn't say anything. And they,
right.
You know, my coworkers, you know, they said, you know, how did that not make you angry? And I said, because God broke me of my anger. I explained to them, I said, you know, the Holy Spirit broke me of my anger and my pride. I can just let that go. I don't need to worry about that. When I start to feel angry, I nip it in the bud, I bite my tongue, I bridle my tongue like the Bible says to do, and I get in prayer, sometimes in my head, sometimes I'll mumble, sometimes I'll just outright pray, whatever, but I instantly go into prayer to eliminate those feelings. And if people
in
the church would allow the Holy Spirit to give you that conviction and listen to the Holy Spirit, everybody has that connection that believes in God, but they don't listen. You know, you just have to listen and abide by what he says. He says, bite your tongue and be persecuted in a silly, stupid manner.
Mm-hmm.
Do it, you know. So what? Doesn't
and
matter because my rewards are not of this world. You know, I'm here to impress God and no one else.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Cam.
What is neat about what you're saying is that's been my experience too. But I just want to add to what you're saying about, you know, biting your tongue, for example, right? Well, I won't bite it literally because it'll hurt. that's just a silly joke. But no, really, the way that happens is you're already in fellowship, you're in prayer, maybe not at that moment, but because we've been practicing praying all the time or being in the Lord's presence, fellowshipping with Him, fellowshipping one with another, with each other, when those things happen, the Holy Spirit just shuts our mouth and He leads us right away into prayer. And that's how we're able to control our tongue. That's how we're able to control ourselves because, you know, it's like we have this reservoir inside of us. So we've been walking with the Lord all these years. We've been studying His Word, praying His Word, fellowshipping with Him, talking to Him, getting to know Him, falling more in love with Him, and our spirit is being full. We're filling our spirit with His Spirit, and then something like that at work happens, and instead of us getting angry and yelling and screaming, something happens, and if we do scream and yell, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. The Lord will work with you so that you will express Him through your anger. You know, we're allowed to get angry because Jesus got angry. But I've experienced over my walk with the Lord that when I do get angry, I'm able to express my anger through Him. It's not me getting angry or me talking in the flesh. It will be, I'll be respectful of what they're saying. You know, I will let them know that what they're saying is rude and crude and whatever. But I'll say it with respect. I will not cuss at them. I will not throw them under the bus. like they may have thrown me. Because the Holy
Spirit
takes over.
Yeah. I don't even, you know, they made the comment today when I told them that, they, you know, they said, oh, man, you must have been praying a lot yesterday. And I said, and I was able to, you know, throw in there. I said, man, I'm in prayer all day, every day. I'm all day long. I'm talking to the Lord. He is with me all day, every day. While I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm thinking and talking to the Lord also in my head. You know, I'm always in the Lord's presence. You know, everything I do.
You know, I would like to, Chris, when you were going through these things, I found it really remarkable. I have been, since the Lord told Judy that she had done her last video for him, last night I went back and checked, or whenever it was, yesterday, whatever it was, the day before, what her last video is, and then today I was looking at some of the others, and her third from last video is entitled Trials and the Rapture, Count It All Joy. God is allowing your trial to make you a happier bride. And the theme of that is, and that was just a week ago, and the theme of that is, in a human wedding, the bride makes herself ready. But in a spiritual wedding, it's the Lord that makes all of us ready for Him. And I think that's what we've been experiencing. And I think your description of your experiences yesterday and today have been a wonderful example. And the reason that came to my mind is partly because just before the show started, I was listening to that video again, and I was almost exactly halfway through. And I just think that's a great message, and I think it fits the theme of where so many of us are at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really been laying it on my heart, you know, not to convict anybody personally, or, you know, I have no idea who. A Roman said that the Lord spoke to him through me talking to him about it. And I don't know if it was meant for him only or for everybody or what, you know, but in this final hour, listen to the Lord. You know, just listen to Him, trust in Him, and if He says stand on your head in the corner for 2 hours, then go do it. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If the Lord tells you to do it, do it.
Right. That's right. You know, this is, and I would also like to emphasize, this is not a huge work in progress at this point. This is, we're talking about a final sand or the last cut to fit. We're talking about right at the very end here.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We are like at the very, 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 very end. You know, I do think, there was something else I wanted to add. Didn't somebody say at the very beginning something about the show being 3-2-1, being 3-2-1 on the show?
The previous two or three shows had been scheduled to start at 3:21 p.m. We don't know how that happened, or the one for today that Tana found that was 12:21.
Yeah, I've been seeing 3:21 a lot. Or, you know, like, show will start tomorrow at 3:21, and I'm thinking, is that a countdown? 3-2-1.
Right.
That,
exactly.
You know, is the Lord making a claim? Yeah, is He flirting with this? Oh, and by the way, Jerry, I don't know how you and Tana and Michelle and Judy, when you all open the chat room, I don't know if you use the small chat or you use the big chat, but the big window chat, but the big window chat wouldn't open. So I've got I think they had some problems today. And I called them to make, well, you know, I texted them to make sure we were going to be able to open up the chat room. But it says that there was a backup, a primary, secondary, and backup ISPs all went down this morning, causing a major site-wide outage. And they weren't sure if we were going to have problems. But that's the only problem I encountered. So, but it looks like everybody's posting in the chat, and
yep.
I don't think there's a problem. I just, you know, thought I'd give you guys a heads up.
I don't know if you guys follow. I'm pretty sure everybody follows Dabu 7 a little bit. But how many of you guys follow Lindley Oz? Katie put out today that all of Dabu's videos were erased. And Lindley Oz, she's a friend of mine on Facebook too, and she's been getting blocked and censored a lot for the past about 2 months. So she's been having issues too. Dabu, I'm always a little wary about him. He's very informative, but I'm always a little, you know, I like to research everything more
yeah.
thoroughly, you
right.
know. But with all that going on, the censorship is coming, so be ready for that one of these days Blog Talk may not come up because they're going to throw in the censorship and they're going to shut it all down. I do believe that's coming.
Yeah. Well, it's there's already here a very pervasive, what I'm going to call a soft censorship, where they drastically reduce the number of views on certain people's channels. They don't come up in the search engines or the random generators as quickly. They have people who are paid inside and outside of government payrolls to troll for money and attack these channels and register unfounded complaints against channels. And this has been going on now for really strongly for probably a year and a half, 2 years, and do other things like that. And so I'm calling that a soft censorship because they're attacking it in many less obvious
yeah.
ways, and then they're going to get to the pure just cut people off at some point, but we don't know when that is.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, we're going to poof before then.
Yep. But we're close. We're close both ways. The Lord put it on my heart. You know, you mentioned Katie, Chris, and she's done some videos, and we were talking dates earlier, and right now they're in this ceasefire where they're discussing another peace arrangement.
Yeah,
and
you end up with more ammunition.
And I am not a subscriber to the whole 7-year peace treaty thing, but there are two ways that are scriptural that a peace treaty can fit into the current scenario that we see unfolding. Because I know, and I'm bringing this up in the context of Katie, because the Lord has been speaking to her about the peace treaty in this exact current ceasefire. And I do not expect personally this multi-year time of peace treaty, but there are two times when there's a prophetic corollary, and then there's a specific time that is alluded to of a possible peace treaty, and that's when the Lord said, when they say peace and safety, you know, don't go back down into your house, run for the hills. And
right.
that is, you know, because when they say peace and safety comes sudden destruction. And I believe that could be what is in the offing here very shortly.
Well, do you mind if I throw a little something in there on that, Jerry?
In just a second.
Yeah,
let me offer, complete the thought, because there's a prophetic aspect to this too, because if Israel does any kind of a peace agreement with any of these parties, and they give up any sovereignty to the land that they hold, that will be, and I, well, the word that he's putting in my head is an abomination. That will be an affront to their covenant with God. And if they, in exchange for peace, offer any land or any religious concession, any, you know, faithful concession of faith to get this peace treaty, God will almost certainly remove his hand of protection as a result.
Wow. I just wanted to add into that, the Lord has been really laying it on my heart that a lot of people, everybody's looking for the peace treaty to be signed is the start of the tribulation, okay? The Lord has been really, really putting it on my heart. He says, listen to my scripture. Every word, every dot, every iota is written for a reason. And if people take that peace and safety, when he says the scripture that says peace and safety, and the scripture that says a covenant with many, and they mix the two together and come up with that peace treaty has to be signed to start the tribulation. Well, God has been really laying it on my heart that, look, I didn't put them together for a reason. A covenant with many does not say a peace treaty with many. It says a covenant, which means it could be Israel signing an agreement that, okay, it could be a trade agreement. It could be whatever. A covenant could mean a million different things that have nothing to do with peace. We're going to sign a something with the UN, and we're going to agree to this, and we're going to make a covenant that we're not going to do this, or we're going to do that. It doesn't have to have anything to do with a peace agreement. People mix those two scriptures together, I think, inaccurately.
You are right on mark with that, based on what the Lord has showed and confirmed to me, Chris. You're absolutely right, but I will go farther than that to discern between the two. But about what the Lord has very specifically shown and confirmed for me is that covenant with the many is us. It's the New Testament. It's the age of grace. Now, that has implications for the rest of those scriptures, which very few people have really considered, but it's why I don't believe in the seven-year peace treaty. The 7 years, in my opinion, in Daniel is, and not just my opinion, but the 7 years in Daniel is the 7 years of work that Christ does on earth before the millennial kingdom,
A lot of people keep getting disappointed. They're like,
right,
nobody signed the peace treaty, so we haven't started the tribulation. We could already be in the beginning days of the tribulation.
And that's been shortened already dramatically.
Exactly.
And our presence.
How shortened those days, for the elect's sake.
Right.
People need to get in the Word and read the Bible. I'm in my Bible as much as I can be. And that's where I get, and then between the discernment of the Holy Spirit and reading the Word, he shows me these things. He's like, wait a minute.
You're
everybody's,
right.
I'm like, Lord, where's the peace treaty? Lord, where's the peace treaty? Peace treaty.
That's right.
And the Lord's like, dummy, listen. I didn't say anything about a peace treaty. I said a covenant with many.
That's right.
I said that they say peace and safety. And they, and they're already saying peace and safety, but that has nothing to do with a treaty, So they're already saying that.
The world is saying that, but no, I don't think anybody in Israel has said that except in the context of seeking it. Okay, I think we've got 30 seconds. I completely agree, Chris. I believe you've studied well, and I believe you've been well-led.
Yes, you have. Very good.
The Spirit of the Bride says,
Spirit of the Bride says, come. And Tana says, come now. Come
yes,
now,
yes,
Lord.
That's a better one.
Come now.
Amen.
Amen.
Home, and Lord, bless.
Take us home, Father.
Bless
we release blessings.
Bless your body. Bless
yes,
your bless
the body
bless
and
today,
everybody
Lord,
in the
Jesus.
Chat room. And yes, Lord, bless everybody. Overflow them with health and abundance and everything, Lord. Bless their...
Keith, I hope you're feeling better. I've been praying for you.
Thank you.
Yes,
you
sir.
That. I really appreciate it.
I mean, Keith.
Yeah. Bless you, Keith. I know he's
Thank
in it.
Thank you. So, I
Amen.
Love you guys all. Yes. And I can't wait. Thanks for great... Thanks for talking today, Chris. That was a great show today.
Thank you.
You were
great.
I'm
sorry.
I get on rant. No, that was good. We need to hear your rant. We haven't heard in a while. We always learn something from everybody's rant, so it's all good.
Exactly.
We like it.
Amen.
We sure do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, Carol.
Thank you.
Love you, everybody. Love you, Terry.
Yes.
Talk to you guys later.
Love you, Keith.
Love
you, Carol.
Love you all.
Be in the air.
In the air.
In the air and... Hours, people, hours.
Yeah, any moment. I guess we're I think the show is over. I don't think the chat can hear us, but they were
the
really
podcast.
Awesome. What's that? Are you all there?
I think I'm here. I think he said bye and.
I'm still here, but I think it goes into the podcast if the host doesn't hang up.
Oh.
Whoever's hosting
yeah.
tonight.
I am. I'm
oh, okay.
Me, Carol. You know. Well, really, Jesus is.
Love you, Pat.
But you know what? You know, I could kick myself, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is smiling at me because, Chris, you made a very, very good point. You too, Jerry, you both opened my eyes to realize he says a covenant and it's not not necessarily a peace agreement, but... We've been conditioned to think that it's a peace agreement because it says that I think it's because we know that they're going to be calling for peace and safety, and when they call for peace and safety, destruction comes. Okay, so I think that's where they got the idea that the covenant is a peace agreement. But that's not what Daniel says.
Yeah, it's been all twisted around. But if you go back and read Daniel chapter 9 with the Messiah in mind as Jesus, you'll see that he came once for 3.5 years as a priest, was cut off, but not for himself because he was resurrected.
Uh-huh.
And is had three and a half years left to come back as king and ruler and judge to set up the millennial kingdom, and that work is ongoing right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not sure, and I'm not saying this to try and offend anybody, and I'm definitely rapture. Belief, but I'm not sure of his timing on the rapture, on pre, mid, or post, you know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That God has never given me a clarified time. He's told me we're close, and I'm coming to get you soon. Okay? But he's also told me that you may already be in the tribulation. People don't know. There's tribulation going on everywhere. You know?
Well,
and
go ahead.
No, sorry. I just, sometimes a lot of people get offended and think, oh, well, Chris doesn't believe in the rapture. And I believe in the rapture, but I think we could be in the last 2 days of the tribulation for all we know. You know, people have been losing their heads and being persecuted for years. You know?
You're right.
So,
you haven't happened to
the Western civilization. You know, that's all. We've been sheltered from.
That's right. You're exactly right, Chris. And I'm not going to go any farther than what you went. But I will say that the Great Tribulation is about the wrath of God. And he will keep us separated, the sincere heart. Those who seek the heart of God will be separated from his wrath. And
exactly. And that could already be what he's done. You know, he could be telling me I'm coming soon because he's kept us protected and separated from what's going on. And before he pours out the seven bowls of his wrath, we're going to go. You know, we haven't seen that. You know, I believe that and this is what God's been leading me to believe, that in Revelations when they talks about the mountain pouring into the sea. I believe that that's going to be Yellowstone erupts and pours into the sea, which is pretty close to happening. You know, and that's we're going to poof before that because we're spared from his wrath. It doesn't say that we're going to escape the entire tribulation. You know,
right.
We could very well. You know, I don't know. It's not my place to know. Only God knows the exact what's going on. All I know is I'm going to stay ready no matter what. At all times, you know,
amen.
And when I get there, I can say, hey, Lord, did I experience any of the tribulation? Was I there for that? How did that work, you know? You know, that'll be a question for Christ when I get there, you know, but we very well could be towards the end of the tribulation, right near the wrath, you know?
We're, I believe, pretty close, yeah.
I spent four days... waking up to escape verses playing on my Bible app. This morning, I woke up to Revelations playing, Revelation 3, starting out when the Lord put it on my heart instantly when I woke up listening to that, and I was like, oh, the mountain going into the sea, Yellowstone. Technically a mountain. It may not be a huge mountain because of the way it's landscaped, but it's technically a mountain. It's a volcano. Pours into the sea when it erupts. That's the beginning of the bowls of wrath, you know? And then we're gone before that. And I believe that's what we're going to... He says we're going to escape the wrath. He doesn't say we're not going to go through trials and tribulations.
Which we've done.
We've already been going. So.
Yep. I would like to say something for the benefit of others who might listen to this, and that is it's been increasingly demonstrated to me in many ways that there's actually probably going to be several waves of people taken by God at different times. And one of the reasons there's so much confusion about it is because you can find scriptures that match different scenarios. And everybody keeps being on this mindset, well, they all have to fit one occasion, and the answer is no, they don't. And if each one represents a different occasion, then you eliminate the conflicts and you begin to line things up better with the heart of God and the fact that people will progressively over in waves come to faith or into an agreement with him, even if faith after the rapture is not the appropriate word, they will seek a reconciliation with God, and most will.
Jerry, do you listen to Perry Stone at all?
Yeah, I like Perry Stone. I don't follow him every week, but I have listened to him quite a bit.
He does a sermon. This was a very eye-opening sermon for me. I saved it to my favorites list. I'm going to have to look through it and find the name of it. But he did a sermon that he takes and breaks down, and this was amazing. And this was what shows me that and not just me, but he also agrees, and what you were just saying, he agrees with it completely. Puts that out about and clarifies it also and gives it confirmation on the fact that there's waves of raptures. There's He takes the books of Genesis and the books of Revelation, and he mirror images them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you mirror image them, they actually reflect each other completely. Like Genesis 1 is the equivalent of, I think it's Revelation 11, is talking about the, I'm terrible with the numbers, but where it's talking about the peace, you know, the millennial reign, okay? Genesis 1 is talking about the Garden of Eden, okay?
Yes.
Then there's, he goes through, you'd have to watch the message, but it actually, if you go through and you compare chapter for chapter, they mirror image each other back to back, so that everything that was going, starting from the beginning, is working backwards from the end. And that also includes the rapture of Enoch, the rapture of Elijah in the chariot of fire, Christ's ascension, okay, and then he throws in a couple other ones I can't remember, but it's a perfect mirror image that breaks down, you know, working from the millennial reign is equal the equivalent of the Garden of Eden. Then there's the fall. You know, then the fall is the equivalent of Revelations, where the apocalypse, Gog and Magog war, you know, when that goes on. That's in Ezekiel, but the apocalyptic war, you know. So, you know, and and when he breaks it down, he really gets in depth he's a very knowledgeable man, you know. And I was just like, wow. You're right, that's a complete mirror image. And that proves that there's more than one ascension date. You know, there's going to be waves of raptures.
Right. Yeah, you know, pattern, there, I can illustrate that pattern in a couple of ways. And that isn't discussed, it's mostly stuff he's shown me. But if you think about it, in the Gentile world, we read left to right. But in Hebrew, you read right to left. Where do you meet? In the middle.
Uh-huh.
These symbols, all the biblical religious symbols, are symmetrical from the center, whether it's the ichthus, the fish, or the Star of David, or the menorah. And the menorah, the standard menorah, has seven lamps on it.
Uh-huh.
And the one on the middle lampstand is in the center, and it's symmetrical, and it is able to be folded over onto itself as well, where you end up with four posts, if you will, in line.
Uh-huh.
And but the seven, so the notion of the folding the scripture over onto itself is also the same. But if you look at the seven churches, which are represented by the seven lights on the lampstand in Revelation, you'll see that the description of the churches, the first and the eighth, or the first and the seventh, are similar. The second and the sixth are similar. And the third and the fifth are similar. And then if you take those numbers, every one of them adds up to eight, and then four in the middle, if you doubled it, will also be eight. One and seven, three and five, and so on. And so this pattern of symmetry, it goes way beyond just the Word of God, but all of these different things point to that in the manner in which things are handled. And I am familiar with that study, and it's a really super intriguing one. The other one, you start to see other patterns, like when you look at, for example, Isaiah, which has 66 chapters as opposed to 66 books. It's a little less direct than the one that you mentioned, Chris. But the traditional seven light menorah. The pattern of that, and it is mentioned in Scripture, and who's standing amongst the seven lampstands? the man, the one in linen, and so on and so forth. It's a description of the of Christ.
Oh, there, you know what? That's something that I follow a preacher. He actually hosts the app Behold Israel, and his name's Amir Tesfari. He's a born again Christian, but he's a Jew. All right, and he's I can't even think of the name for him. Messianic Jew, but he believes that Christ in the Old Testament. He said it jokingly in one of his sermons I was watching. He says, "I don't understand all these little Bibles that everybody passes around, and they give them out for free, and all it is the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs." And he says, "I don't understand why they do that. Why not pass out the Old Testament?" And somebody asked me, they said, "Well, if you pass out the Old Testament, then you don't see Christ." And he says, "If you pay attention to the Holy Spirit and read the Word properly, I can find Jesus Christ all throughout the Old Testament. He's all through it.
Yep.
He's everywhere." Started looking, and I find him everywhere. All throughout the Old Testament. His entire life is broke down in prophecy, almost, word for word. Everything that's in the New Testament can be found in the Old Testament, just spread out throughout prophetic messages.
That's exactly right. You have the enthusiasm of the reassurance of the Holy Spirit, and so many people don't do what you just said, which is read the Bible and give God a chance to speak to them through His Word. And then, once you begin to recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit, it can really expand. But it's sort of validated when you start to get insights when you read the Word of God.
And it doesn't come instantly. It's, I'm probably on my 100th time through, the Bible. I listen to it at work. It drives everybody crazy. I'll put my, I have an audio Bible app on my phone, and I'll just put it on my phone and put it in my pocket and listen to it while I'm working, and they're flying out to their country, and I'm listening to my Bible, and I don't bother with the headphones. If you don't like it, too bad, That's just, I do it all. I'm in my word, in the Word all day, and I'll come across scriptures that I've read 100 times, and then say, "Oh wow, that means that,"
And that's because the Holy Spirit has opened the eyes of your understanding.
People overlook that. I've heard so many Christians say, you don't need the Bible. Without having the Bible. You can do that. But
I always think of this. The people that have started cults, like Joseph Smith and the guy from the Jehovah Witnesses and all these others.
Yeah.
This is what I know Joseph Smith actually said, right? Okay, he was disgusted and discouraged with the organized church of the time, the four walls of that time. So, he sat under a tree and started praying to God. And he heard a voice tell him to start another church. And to dig up some golden tablets, he heard this voice and he said it was God.
When you say that, what comes to my mind? You remember old phrase? It's an old time phrase. Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
That's what comes to my mind. That might have been the Holy Spirit convicting him to start another church. But he threw the baby out with the bathwater. He threw the Bible out with the church.
If he had read his Bible, here's the thing, though. He didn't just start another church. He added a whole bunch of a bunch of different books, and the books, you know, they carry their King James with them. That's the only Bible that they'll carry. So if you don't know the Word of God, or if you use a different version, they're going to tell you, oh, that version is not the real version. The real version is the King James, even though they don't know the word themselves. I know it because that's actually the missionaries. But here's my point. Had Joseph Smith read his Bible, he would have realized that voice that he heard was not the voice of God. It was not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, in starting that church, he came up with all kinds of weird ideas. See, it wasn't just he believed this is what God, this voice told him. This voice told Joseph Smith that Jesus was the brother of Lucifer, that Jesus is the Son of God, but he is not God.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so if he had read his Bible, he would have realized, hey, wait a minute, that verse wasn't from God. Because he would have realized in the Old Testament and in the New that Jesus is God and that Lucifer is not the brother of Jesus.
Amen.
This is what the word does for me.
I just want to say one thing about that. Joseph Smith was a known criminal, and that presumes he even actually did hear somebody speak to him. Okay? I'm just saying that. You know, we don't know one way or the other, but he did have a criminal history.
Well, this is what the reading of the word does for me. Everybody has doubts. Okay? I've gotten way beyond the past of having a doubt that God exists. I know that for a fact, because I've felt his presence and felt the Holy Spirit. But people have doubts on the understanding of what's going on. You know, people doubt. I know lots of people that believe in God, love God, and they tell me, they're like, oh, yeah, but he's not coming back because we're so disgusting now, and he's so disgusted with the world, he just gave up on us. You know, but here's what the reading of the word does. It eliminates that capability of that doubt, because if you read it and understand it with the discernment of the Holy Spirit, it allows you to see and know everything that is going on is in the Word. It's already there. It already said that the world's going to become disgusting. It already just says that he's going to be disgusted with it, you know, and that's when he's going to return. You know, so, you know, and there's 100 other things, you know, but it clarifies and stops those doubts, you know. Lord, are you going to take us, you know? Okay, take me to Thessalonians. I read that, and that confirms to me, and that blocks that doubt out of my mind. Yes, you're coming for us. You said you're coming,
mm-hmm.
You know, so you're coming.
Exactly.
I know it because it's your word.
The other thing that...
That's why
that,
I don't understand.
I was going to say... The other aspect that bugs me to no end about Christians is they always say, well, we have so much work to do before the Lord returns. Woo! That really gets
the Lord was waiting on us.
Really, yeah, exactly.
I guess we have things to do. We're supposed to occupy till he comes. But the Lord is not going to base his prophetic movements on us. If he did, we would never see him. Because only Christ could accomplish what...
You know, there's so many more people
to accomplish.
Say, well,
yeah, yeah. And
you know,
oh, by the way,
the only
scripture I know of that fits that sentiment is the one where it says the gospel must be preached over the, you know, basically to all peoples, all people groups is what that represents. That's been there, done that. That has been accomplished at least many years ago, if not a decade ago.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's just because he wants everybody to have the knowledge and the choice so they can make their own choice. People don't realize that, you know, a lot of people get on this kick, well, there's not a missionary in this jungle, or there's not a missionary there, so we got to wait. What they don't realize is everyone has a knowledge between the persecution of Christ, okay, and the preaching of Christ. Everyone has the knowledge of Christ. So they can make the choice to either learn more about him or turn away from him. So that's what it's about, is giving the opportunity to all of mankind to make that choice. But everybody's heard of Jesus, whether they chose to learn more or chose to say he's a false prophet or whatever. Everybody's heard of him. You know, I don't doubt you can go anywhere in the world and find a human being that has not heard the name Jesus Christ, even if it was done in a swear word.
Well,
you know, how many people smash their thumb and say, "Oh, Jesus," you know, and they use your name in vain.
Exactly.
You know, putting his name.
Yeah, you know, but in addition to that, the evangelizing—that's one of the tasks of the 144,000, and I'll just add to that the comebacks. You know, basically, there's going to be people and, you know, godly people all over the world that are preaching and evangelizing the world. There will be no one in left. Beyond the reach of a knowledge with the relationship with God.
Oh,
and
wow.
So you know, even if it doesn't happen before he pulls us out, it's not a requirement, because he's going to make sure it's scripturally certified that will happen.
Confirmation on what you just said, Jerry. Roman sent me a message in the Facebook chat. It says, "Thanks for talking, he calls me Mick. He says, "Thanks for talking, Mick, on the show. I love hearing your voice. You are an amazingly strong preacher. I don't know what it is, Mick, but there's some strange anointing on your voice that makes you really stand out. And I can feel the Holy Ghost when you talk. God has really put some anointing on your voice, Mick. All glory
to
God.
Yes, he does.
You have a very special gift, Mick, of evangelism and preaching. Glory to God." And I wrote, "Thank you, my brother. That makes me very happy to hear more than you can know." And that really does, because God has put a calling on my life. I've had numerous prophecies over me that I'm going to be a prophet to the nations was one of them. One was I was going to be such a leader in the ways of the Holy Spirit that I wouldn't even realize that I had people following me, because I wasn't looking for to be a preacher or an evangelist. I wouldn't even realize that people were going to be following my words, but they said in the prophecy, it said I would look behind me and be in shock, because I would be a leader of leaders and other leaders would be following my words and my guidance in the Holy Spirit. And I was just like, how is that possible, Lord? But then he puts, and this is where it was confirmation on what you were just saying, he says, "LOL, it's cool, just saying the truth. I feel God is going to use that special gift he put inside of you to reach millions, if not billions, of people, maybe even in the 144K. Love you, Mick."
I'll add to that. That's great. If Roman listens in the archives, thanks, Roman. But in addition to that, I'll tell you right now, everybody who's being publicly criticized or challenged with regard to their faith has a public ministry, and so
amen.
you have that right now already.
Yeah, and God has put that out to me. God has told me, he's like, you know, I told you were going to be a prophet to the nations, And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to be a prophet to the nations when I can't even move into a situation where I'm in a full-time ministry? I have to, you know, I witness on Facebook and I witness in life at work, you know, but I'm at work,
mm-hmm.
you know. I have to work. I have kids to raise. And he's like, how many, you know, and God put this on my spirit. He's like, how many friends do you have on Facebook? And I looked it up and I'm like, about 2,000, you know, a little over 2,000. And he's like, how many of those are from other countries? And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, so that's, you're talking to the nation, preaching to the nation.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm like, all right, God, I get it. I was just hoping that maybe, you know, I could actually feel more prophetically moving, you know. And, you know, he put it on my heart. He's teaching people just by, you know, the way you talk on Facebook, the way you talk on the RCC, you're reaching people and you don't even know it. You know, I fought with this and I struggled with this for months. You know, that's how Jason and I became friends. He hit me up and he's like, you know, I don't think you realize this, but you've said things on Blog Talk Radio that you know, were words directly to me, and you didn't even know you were speaking to me, you know, and I just want you to know that you reached me, you touched me, you helped me. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, and that's when, you know, the Lord laid it out for me. He's like, you know, and I've had friends hit me up on Facebook that I haven't talked to in 20 years, you know, and they're like, hey, man, I'm coming back to Christ, and you know, I've been following what you're saying and talking about, and can you give me some advice on this or help me find a, you know, good church to go to, or, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, people are, you know, listening, you know. So
it is there.
I want to see, you know, I tell everybody, I'm like, I wish I could have Joel Osteen's pulpit for just one sermon.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
If I could have this part,
that pulpit does not have a very firm foundation, and I would not say that.
You know, if I could talk to people that listen to him for just 2 hours, I could turn that complete church into Holy Spirit filled believers.
No. I'll tell you right now. That's not.
You know why it wouldn't work? Because you would have a captive audience. You would be the center of attention, and because we're still human, you would kind of bask in that glory.
Let me add also, why do you think all those people are there? They're attracted to the kind of message that you wouldn't be predisposed to give. But you know what? You need to, it's just remember, it's not your power, it's the power of God through you. And, He will have you where he wants you, and just do his work in the way you're doing it, because you've got a very natural and sincere way of delivering your experiences and what he's teaching you. And that's where you need to stay. And he'll do the rest.
Amen.
He'll do the rest.
Yeah.
He really will.
He'll do it. Besides, when we come back as part of the 144, the 144K, we really are going to reach people like we've never reached them before. Like nobody's ever reached them before, because we're going to have supernatural power. We're going to have the glory of God on us, and see, we're going to have a glorified body, but we're going to be doing things that we can't do right now. Like appearing and disappearing, going from one end of the earth to the other as the Holy Spirit leads us. You know, we're not going to be affected by anyone. You know, nothing's going to be able to touch us. We're going to have the seal of God on us, a protective, a supernatural protective field. And we're going to be able to protect a lot of people that we can't protect.
Amen.
And there will be a field ripe for the harvest, because there will be literally billions of people who will have seen the things that they believed in shown to be meaningless.
Yeah, that's
well. I've never gotten an amen from a dog before.
I forgot you guys can hear him. We're actually having some thunder bunders and some rain, and my dog sees the lightning and he's barking at it.
That's funny.
Man, we needed the rain so bad.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, well, shall we call it an evening?
Let's
on the phone
call it
anymore?
An evening. Thank you so much, Chris and Carol.
Thank you guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's good to talk to like-minded people, isn't it? Because we don't have that many like-minded people
Amen.
Around us.
No, that's. Yeah, I'm fairly blessed that way, but we all have our challenges.
But we have the, you know what, Jerry? The Holy Spirit has been, and this is for you too, Chris. Maybe you all want to kind of join me, but you know, because of we've had all these challenges and struggles or whatever, you know, in First Timothy, there's I forget the chapter and verse, but he tells us we don't have a spirit of fear. God didn't give us that spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of, what's the first one? Power of love and of a sound mind. Well, when I've spoken those scriptures to myself, I always emphasize the spirit of love and of a sound mind, but I forget to emphasize the spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of power in us. We need that supernatural power now. We're going to have it when we leave.
I am believing for the power of poof right now. Because
I think
Amen. we're almost done being birthed is what I think.
That's the power. You got that right away. And that's the Holy Spirit power poofing us out of
here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good thought. Okay,
walking
guys.
Walking like Enoch.
Walking like Enoch, who was walking with God and was not, because God took him. And that's how we're going to be. And that's how
Correct.
We are. We're walking with God now. And one of these days, we're not going to be, because God has taken us. So, hallelujah. Okay,
I think I can almost hold my breath that long. Almost.
Yeah.
Okay. Love you both, and we'll
love
see
you guys. Thanks
see,
so much.
See you in the air.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks for
Amen.
Calling, Chris. All right. Love you guys.
Listening.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.